Kate disappeared late yesterday morning, Lane said. I got a call in the afternoon from her kidnappers. They wanted money. That's what was in the car. You watched one of my wife's kidnappers collect their ransom. Nobody spoke. They promised to release her, and it's been 24 hours, and they haven't called back. Chapter 3. Edward Lane held the framed photograph like an offering, and Reacher stepped forward to take it. He tilted it to catch the light. Kate Lane was beautiful, no question about it. She was hypnotic. She was younger than her husband by maybe 20 years, which put her in her early 30s. Old enough to be all woman, young enough to be flawless. In the picture, she was gazing at something just beyond the edge of the print. Her eyes blazed with love. Her mouth seemed ready to burst into a wide smile. The photographer had frozen the first tiny hint of it so that the pose seemed dynamic. It was a still picture, but it looked like it was about to move. The focus and the grain and the detail were immaculate. Reacher didn't know much about photography, but he knew he was holding a high-end product. The frame alone might have cost what he used to make in a month back in the army. "My Mona Lisa," Lane said. "That's how I think of that picture." Reacher passed it back. "Is it recent?" Lane propped it upright again next to the telephone. "Less than a year old?" "Why no cops?" "There are reasons. This kind of a thing, they usually do a good job." "No cops," Lane said. Nobody spoke. "You were a cop," Lane said. "You can do what they do." "I can't," Reacher said. "You were a military cop. Therefore, all things being equal, you can do better than them. All things aren't equal. I don't have their resources. You can make a start." The room went very quiet. Reacher glanced at the phone and the photograph. "How much money did they want?" $1 million in cash," Lane answered. "And that was in the car?" $1 million bucks. "In the trunk, in a leather bag." "Okay," Reacher said. "Let's all sit down." "I don't feel like sitting down." "Relax," Reacher said. "They're going to call back. Probably very soon, I can pretty much guarantee that." "How?" "Sit down. Start at the beginning. Tell me about yesterday." So Lane sat down in the armchair next to the telephone table and started to talk about the previous day. Reacher sat at one end of a sofa. Gregory sat next to him. The other five guys distributed themselves around the room, two sitting, two squatting on chair arms, one leaning against the wall. "Kate went out at 10 o'clock in the morning," Lane said. "She was heading for Bloomingdale's, I think." "You think?" "I allow her some freedom of action. She doesn't necessarily supply me with a detailed itinerary. Not every day." "Was she alone?" "Her daughter was with her." "Her daughter?" "She has an 8-year-old by her first marriage. Her name is Jade." "She lives with you here?" Lane nodded. "So where is Jade now?" "Missing, obviously." "So this is a double kidnapping?" Reacher asked. Lane nodded again. "Triple, in a way. Their driver didn't come back either." "You didn't think to mention this before? Does it make a difference, one person or three?" "Who was the driver?" "A guy called Taylor, British ex-SAS. A good man, one of us." "What happened to the car?" "It's missing." "Does Kate go to Bloomingdale's often?" Lane shook his head. "Only occasionally, and never on a predictable pattern. We do nothing regular or predictable. I vary her drivers, vary her routes. Sometimes we stay out of the city altogether." "Because? You've got a lot of enemies?" "My fair share. My line of work attracts enemies." "You're going to have to explain your line of work to me. You're going to have to tell me who your enemies are." "Why are you sure they're going to call?" "I'll get to that," Reacher said. "Tell me about the first conversation, word for word." "They called at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It went pretty much how you would expect. You know, we have your wife, we have your daughter. Voice? Altered. One of those electronic squawk boxes. Very metallic, like a robot in a movie. Loud and deep, but that doesn't mean anything. They can alter the pitch and the volume. What did you say to them? I asked them what they wanted. They said $1 million. I asked them to put Kate on the line. They did. After a short pause, Lane closed his eyes. She said, you know, help me, help me. He opened his eyes. Then the guy with the squawk box came back on and I agreed to the money. No hesitation. The guy said he would call back in an hour with instructions. And did he? Lane nodded. At 5 o'clock. I was told to wait 6 hours and put the money in the trunk of the Mercedes you saw and have it driven down to the village and parked in that spot at 11:40 exactly. The driver was to lock it up and walk away and put the keys through a mail slot in the front door of a certain building on the southwest corner of Spring Street and West Broadway. Then he was to walk away and keep on walking away south on West Broadway. Someone would move in behind him and enter the building and collect the keys. If my driver stopped or turned around or even looked back, Kate would die. Likewise, if there was a tracking device on the car. That was it? Word for word? Lane nodded. Nothing else. Lane shook his head. Who drove the car down? Reacher asked. Gregory, Lane said.
I followed the instructions, Gregory said. To the letter. I couldn't risk anything else.
How far of a walk was it?
6 blocks.
What was the building with the mail slot?
Abandoned, Gregory said. Or awaiting renovations?
One or the other.
It was empty, anyway. I went back there tonight, before I came to the cafe. No sign of habitation.
How good was this guy Taylor? Did you know him in Britain?
Gregory nodded. SIS is a big family, and Taylor was very good indeed.
Okay, Reacher said.
Okay, what?
Lane said. There are some obvious early conclusions, Reacher said. Chapter 4. The first conclusion is that Taylor is already dead. These guys clearly know you to some extent, and therefore we should assume they knew who and what Taylor was. Therefore they wouldn't keep him alive. No reason for it. Too dangerous.
Lane asked,
Why do you think they know me? They asked for a specific car. And they suspected you might have $1 million in cash lying around. They asked for it after the banks were closed and told you to deliver it before the banks reopened. Not everyone could comply with those conditions. Usually even very rich people take a little time to get $1 million in cash together. They get temporary loans, wire transfers. They use stock as collateral, stuff like that. But these guys seem to know that you could just cough it up instantly.